Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and capmel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And we're back, another week of Fish Talk Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. Another week of great fishing, another great week of enjoying some great Florida fishing. Myself, Neil Taylor, here in the studio with Captain Travis Yackel.
We're here, man. Getting it done. Talking some fishing, baby.
We're here again. And again and again and again.
For as long as we keep breathing.
It's never ending. And we sure enjoy. We have so many followers of the show. And we give current events and we talk about the fishing because we're all out there all the time. That's why our show has such appeal. So, Travis, did you fish all week?
I did, man. I mean, I had a couple days, they got a little away from us, man, but, had some cancellations and some rescheduling and kind of snafus, but for the most part, we were out there on the water, you know, doing some inshore fishing and mixing up with a little bit of tarpon, starting to see some tarpon show up, in some of the areas that I fish. So that was pretty cool. Starting to get on that. And then, we had a pretty slow redfish bite this week, but we did get quite a few, snook, and we got a handful of nice trout. So fishing was pretty good. We got some kind of poor tides for us. We're starting to see some hot water and some of what we call snot grass moving in on some of our shallow flats.
So it's popping up where I am too.
It made it real tough to fish in some of the areas where our new fish were. So we kind of bounced around, looked for some new spots and started seeing some tarpon, and we ended up getting a 48-inch cobia, kind of a surprise shocker there, mackerel fishing. So definitely a really cool week, interesting week, starting to see some new stuff show up. But the fishing's been good. How about you, Neil?
I had a busy week, and my trips in the shallows were really good. The trout fishing's been exceptional, but only in specific spots. And I went back to doing some of the seasonal bridge fishing, and the black drum are in thick, so we were hooking 15 or more black drum every time out.
That's
jigging
cool.
The bridges.
That's cool. Those are cool fish, especially as a guide, you know, to take somebody out and fairly, I wouldn't say easily, but pretty likely that you're going to catch a big fish, you know? And so that's, you know, I get a lot of clients like that want to go catch a big fish, and a couple that come to mind are black drum, sharks, and tarpon, you know, right off the bat. And so especially being able to go out and catch 10 or 15 of them, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, hookups were good. We had a friend of mine from Indiana wanted to take his stepson out. So Jason, about 10 years old, we put Jason on him, and first three tries at him didn't work out so well, but he ended up with his drum, and, you know, it's fun to see a kid hold the fish that weighs as much as he does.
Now, on a kayak, Neil, do you guys normally paddle over to an area where you can lift the fish up a little bit, or do you just kind of slap them up on
the
kayak?
For him, we did. Usually, I'll get the fish grip, this plastic device, one of the best things ever made. As soon as you have that in a drum's mouth, that gives you a handle, and you can slide these fish right up onto the kayak for a picture.
Right, right.
For him, it was going to take him a while to battle it, so I got the fish moving that way, and we beached him.
That's cool. We do that with tarpon sometimes if we have the opportunity, depending on which way the fish go, and depending on where we're fishing. But a lot of the places that we fish are some kind of shallow areas that if you happen to get one of those fish that leads you to that, you know, shallow water, it's always neat to kind of get out and get you a nice picture with them. It's pretty cool.
It worked very well.
Good deal, man. Good deal.
Yeah, we slugged some big trout. Had, man, if you want a fish to eat, trout's one of our best we have to offer, and we had no problem getting limits of trout for anyone that wanted a bunch of trout to take home.
Nice. That's good, man. And I actually saw quite a few trout this week, too. I think for where I'm fishing, I would kind of attribute it to where we're seeing the bait, a lot of concentration of bait on the flats. We'll see, you know, a lot of schools of greenbacks up shallow in some of these heavier grass flats, and then off the edges in a little bit deeper water. I happen to notice that I was seeing a lot of trout, and we actually fished them this week, and they're sitting kind of in that same area. They're not really moving into the
this
shallow water.
This is the first week I've seen the bait up shallow, so it was about 6:30 in the morning on an off day. I went fishing on an off day, go figure. And so I was waiting on my brother, my nephew, and his girlfriend to get there, and they never came out to where I was. But the bait was on this flat. I mean, it's about 2.5 feet deep, and the trout were just slurping on it.
Yeah,
I haven't seen fish slurping on bait fish in the shallows like this in probably 7 months.
Good. Yeah, that's kind of the same deal we were seeing too. We did get some nice trout. I actually got a nice flounder, a giant flounder, the other day. I didn't actually put the tape on him, but he had to have been at least 24 inches.
That's a giant.
In like a foot of water, snook fishing. Mm-hmm. So you kind of never know what's going to slide in. And I always say that to clients, especially in the wintertime, we actually talk about it. And, I kind of explain to them what the differences are between fishing this time of year and in the wintertime. And always, we always talk about the bait and how the bait moves up on the flats. And you never really know what's going to come up there with it, you know. In the wintertime, it's not necessarily a ghost town, but the water's real clear. There's not a lot of bait, so you'll see roaming fish. But and you can kind of almost guarantee what you're going to see. In the summertime, as we're moving to summer, and that water warms up, and there's a lot of bait up there. I mean, we've seen black-tip sharks. We've seen bull sharks. A lot of stingrays showed back up. We've seen mackerel. We were catching mackerel in like 3 feet of water right off the edge, on a flat. So that's really cool to see this time of year, and it's really made the fishing kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it's it looks like until things get really, really hot and they slow down, looks like we're in a great trend, and hopefully it continues for quite a while before we'll get to that summer slow down and things will get tougher.
And it's starting where you can almost guarantee that every afternoon there's going to be a little thunderstorm that comes through, and depending on where you're fishing, you might get it, you might not get it. Starting to see it even happening kind of this week. Really, we're starting to see from Tuesday up to Friday, you've got a 30% chance of rain, 20% chance of rain every afternoon, and I think that's just going to continue to be steady as we move into summer.
And I think the rains can actually help the action.
I agree, especially in some of these areas where you've got shallow water flats that fish are on, bait are on. It actually cools the water down and changes the oxygen content.
It adds some oxygen as well as changing the water temperature, which now we're into that trend, and we'll see more of that. And, that's something to watch. And I always say it can only make things better. It's not fun to be out in it when it's actually happening, and you don't want to get hit by lightning.
Yeah, and matter of fact, we just talked about this the other day on my morning charter. We saw a little rain coming through, and they were kind of wondering what we were going to do. And I said, well, it's kind of up to you guys. I said, these storms in Florida, we're kind of used to them, and we can kind of gauge how bad they're going to be to some degree, particularly fishing inshore. Offshore, you don't really want to make that call unless you've got radar. But we ended up fishing the edges of some of these rain bands, and we did really well. And it was actually a kind of a pleasant temperature to fish in. The air temperature cooled down, the water temperature cooled down, and believe it or not, I believe the barometric pressure dropped, and right in front of these storms, we got a great bite. And so we actually just kind of fished on the outside of some of these rain bands, and we did quite well, actually better than we were doing in the morning. So if you can sustain it and stay out there and kind of get through it, there is some good fishing to be had. I particularly like after it stops raining and you're there when that kind of calm comes over and the water kind of slicks off.
Right.
And you can really see what's going on in the fishery where you're at. And a lot of times you'll get a handful of opportunities with even tailing redfish or sight fishing some bigger. We sight fished a couple Kobe off the bar after some rains, and you just never really know what you're going to see after that rain slicks off. So definitely not a bad time to be out there, but be safe. And like you said, stay away from the lightning, because if you do hear lightning and you're hearing thunder crack, it's definitely better to head the opposite direction and maybe head back over after it comes through.
Good to hit some cover when you hear it popping, and we're gonna have 6 months of it. So
yeah,
don't roll the dice. Don't take the risks where you're holding a fishing rod when there's active lightning strikes, because there's a lot of things I wouldn't mind having happen to me in life, but getting hit by lightning is pretty low on the list.
Yeah, there was I don't know if you saw it, Neil, but floating around on Facebook a couple months ago, or you know, a while ago, there was a picture of a guy that got struck by lightning fishing, and he was laying in his hospital bed, and he just had a ball of it looked like yarn or just like mesh fabric, and it was where his rod had actually gotten struck by lightning.
Yeah,
and it's pretty wicked, actually. I shared it on my Facebook page if you go back and look at it. But it was kind of interesting. I went, holy smokes, just the amount of energy that gets blown through there. Something you definitely, there is not a fish out there that's worth that, I can guarantee.
There isn't. You wait till it's over, then you go catch that fish.
That's it, man. That's it. So anyway, yeah, you know, watch the storms, watch your weather before you go out, kind of know what's going on, and, you know, get out there and do some fishing, but be careful about it.
Yeah, we're coming up on the end of segment one. Segment two, the tides and the weather, we'll go over that. And we'll talk a little more on lightning. I've had my own close encounters, but we'll talk a little more on that. A reminder to all of our listeners, our official website, capmel.com, could be the biggest fishing website in the world. Five or more new articles being added every day. The forums are free. You can join and join in on the fish talk there. Still trying to get that restarted again after I switched the site over. A lot of people did not get re-registered into the new site, but gradually we're getting there. But yeah, that's one for you to check out if you haven't seen it before. Go read all the articles we have on there and enjoy that site. Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show is our Facebook page. You can join up on there. We throw some stuff up on there regularly. We put all the podcasts for the radio show up there. We're going to take our first break, and you can listen to the messages from our sponsors. And when we get back, more with Captain Travis Yackel. Tides and Weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you. And we're back. Segment two of the show, Tides and Weather, sponsored by Werner Paddle, one of my biggest sponsors, and a great supporter of everything I do, including the Captain Mel Classics. So we're happy to have them as part of our show.
Absolutely.
We've got Captain Travis Yackel in the studio. He's been in here almost every week for two straight months now.
I know. I felt bummed, man. I missed last week. We were out on the water. I think Jason ended up calling in, didn't he? Didn't he make
a
call in?
Yeah, I was sitting here by myself, and he called in.
I felt horrible, man. It's been rough. I've been running trips kind of like whenever you can, you know, and so I've been kind of grinding, but anyway, yeah, so thanks for covering me on that, and it's always a pleasure to get in here and talk, man.
I've
really had a good
time
doing it, and you know, appreciate all the feedback and warm welcomes from everybody.
Captain Travis is a full-time guide here and a great resource for the fishing community, so we're more than happy to have him affiliated with our fishing show here. And Captain Travis is very open and willing to share his knowledge and his input on what's going on out there in the fishing world.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I can always try to help out, or at least answer as honestly as I can. If you guys have any questions, you can always get a hold of me. You can give me a call on my cell. It's 813-830-3474. You check that on the website. That's www.fishbyinstinct.com, or you can go to a Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio page and shoot me a message on there, or ask some questions or, you know, need help with anything,
book them for a trip.
Yeah, book me for a trip if you need help or whatever. Whatever I can help with, man, I'm here. I'm here for you guys. Like I said, it's been a real pleasure to get up here and talk and kind of try to make my name for myself out here and talk with you guys and try to be professional. So I appreciate the opportunity and I appreciate you guys for listening.
You do a good job, and we enjoy having you as part of the program. So, Travis, whatever's new coming up for you, is there anything different, or you're shifting into more tarpon trips?
Yeah, I think that's really where I'm going is tarpon and sharks. I actually get a handful. I'm one of the guys that still get a handful of trips for sharks every year, and it's something that it's not everybody's, you know, taste.
Well, we've seen a bunch of them this week.
You know, it's definitely fun, and over the years of fishing, growing up around here, and then guiding around here, you have a lot of days where you focus on one specific type of fish, whether it's redfish, snook, trout, and you'll find that this is the time of year where those fish just can be unpredictable. And as you grow as a fisherman, as a guide, you add a lot of things to your arsenal, and a lot of things that I did when I was a kid, you know, as a guide, you never think that people would enjoy to go do. And shark fishing is one of the ones that
So you got someone wants to catch a shark. What are you going to have them feed to a shark?
We normally use cut bait, you know, probably 99.9% of the time.
What kind of cut bait?
We'll use mullet, mackerel, ladyfish.
Is there any one that's preferable over all the others?
I'm a mullet guy.
Yeah.
I'm a big mullet guy. Tell you something that I when I started red fishing a lot, you know, you cut bait a lot in the summertime, and we did a test a number of years ago where we took ladyfish and we took mullet, and it's a pretty popular bait for cut bait and redfish, very stinky bait, very oily bait, and if you take a piece of ladyfish and you drop it in the water, and you'll watch a little bit of an oil ring disperse away from the chunk of bait.
Right.
Do that with a piece of ladyfish, and then do that with a piece of mullet. And it's like three times as much oil
that's
dispersed out of a piece of mullet. And that's when we kind of shifted. Now, I'm not saying one's really better than the other. For me, mullet are easier to catch as bait. They're easier to obtain. And to me, they keep a little bit better. They're not as mushy as a ladyfish can get if you don't ice them or brine them properly before you use them as bait. So I prefer mullet, and generally fresh. If you're out fishing and you happen to catch some mackerel, you can use a cut piece of mackerel. That works great for shark bait, or even a stingray. You can cut a wing off a stingray, and that's a favorite for sharks.
Is there a certain shark that wants a live bait and you're not using your fresh dead cut baits?
Not really. What I normally do when I'm fishing areas for sharks is I'll normally set up a couple different rigs, and I'll normally drop two rigs to the bottom with cut bait. A lot of times I'll put out, if I've got enough people on the boat or depending on the weather and the wind and the tide, I'll float two flat lines out the back of the boat, normally for a cobia or a tarpon or something like that. So I'll put two down, I'll put two up. And there are times where you'll get some Atlantic sharp-nosed sharks, or you'll get a black tip that comes up in your chum slick and comes to the surface, and he may eat a live bait.
That's the reason I was asking about black tips.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken people sharking. I don't do it a lot, but I do it on request, and I handle all the sharks. The clients aren't allowed to get close to them, but if I'm after black tips, I'm using live bait.
Yeah. And I would pretty much agree with that. And I would imagine. Now, are you targeting them on the flats, or are you targeting them up in some deeper areas?
Both.
Okay.
It's usually in some troughs that are right next to the flats.
Right.
A little deeper than right up there 20 yards away where it's 3 feet deep.
Right.
It may be 10 feet deep in there.
Most of the places that I'm shark fishing are going to be on the edges of the main channels. So you're looking at anywhere from 18 to, better half of 40 feet, you know. And so it really does depend, but there's some areas in Upper Tampa Bay, specifically around Beer Can Island, that there's a heavy, heavy population of small black tip sharks, juvenile sharks. And since I was knee high to a grasshopper, we've got some spots out there that you can go to just about any time of the year, put out your $5 chum bag, and they'll literally come up and eat the chum off your chum bag on the back of the boat. And so in instances like that where you actually see the sharks rise to the surface, then yeah, they'll definitely accept a live bait with no problem. But as far as some of the larger sharks, I definitely would use cut bait, go to a standard shark rig, depending on the tide. Definitely something to keep you on the bottom. You're going to use...
So what is your leader for your shark rigs? What is your leader?
It really kind of depends. Normally, I go steel. Length is going to depend on kind of where I'm fishing at and the size of the sharks that I think are in the area. Normally, I'll start off with somewhere around a foot and a half of steel. Then I'll tie that onto a swivel, and I'll go swivel with anywhere from about 100 to 120 pound, 4 or 5 feet of that, and then down to either main line, depending on the rod, or even like a 60 pound leader, double uni to the heavy leader. So, and then normally in Tampa Bay, you only need something about as heavy, maximum about a 2 ounce lead. That's if it's really honking out there in the shipping channel. But most of the time, you can get away with something between a 1 and a 1.5 ounce lead to sit you on the bottom. That's key in fishing, not only for sharks but bottom fishing. We're coming up on grouper season, which is something I want to talk about too as the show kind of goes on here, because that's getting ready to open up. But one of the things about bottom fishing, I learned it in the Keys, is if you're gonna bottom fish, bottom fish. Make sure you have the right amount of lead to keep yourself on the bottom, but not too heavy to where you can't feel a bite. And that's kind of a test and feel thing that you got to kind of get used to. But normally I'll drop a rod down without a rig, put a weight on it, what I think is right, drop it down, see the current, see if it bumps. If it's too heavy, I'll put a lighter one on, try it, and I'll kind of work my weight, because that's pretty important when you're fishing. You don't want to be bumping along the bottom, especially with a heavy rig, and get into a rock pile.
Yeah.
So that's something we can talk about maybe in our next segment, maybe our tip of the week or something. We'll talk about some grouper. But
it is a good tip. No matter what kind of fishing you're doing, use the minimum weight possible to get it done.
Yeah. And in Tampa Bay, we've got dirty water. Relatively speaking, inside the bay, we've got pretty dirty water as far as visibility down deep. Down in the Keys, it's a lot different. And that's where I kind of learned that and really saw how that was played in the game, because we're mutton snapper fishing. And if they see the little sand puffs of your weight bouncing along the bottom, or if they see that weight dragging along the bottom, they won't eat your bait. And now that's obviously better visibility, but I always try to do the best I can, whether that fish can see, can't see, size of the hook, size of the weight, length of the leader, weight of the leader. You want to be best matched for what you're doing. And definitely bottom fishing, it's something that the amount of weight you have on does make a difference. If you're fishing in the 40 foot and then you move up to 20 foot, chances are your weight's going to be different. I mean, it is what it is. And so if you're not kind of making those changes, you're going to find yourself hung up a lot or not getting bites, some of the time, or not feeling them.
Right.
So, but anyway, I think, what we got to do now is talk about some tides and weather. This is a good time for me. I like these tides. I'm kind of a late time fisherman, so we've got this new moon coming up. We're gonna have some high water midday, mid afternoon, and then it's gonna absolutely just dump out. This is what we're getting around, guys. When you hear somebody call something a hill tide, we're moving around our hill tides. They come up on the new and full moons, and what that means is just a really, really strong tide in one direction. So these are our outgoing hill tides. You're going to have over 2 foot inside the bay, and by dark, little after dark 30, it's going to be, and some of the day is going to be down to a negative. So a lot of water moving outside of Tampa Bay, tarpon bites going to go off. A lot of the outside sandbars are going to have fish stacked up on them. I know a couple redfish schools that should get pushed out on the edge of some bars that we're going to go try. So things are looking good. Got some good tides coming up. Hopefully the weather let's just get out there and fish. And some
the
of
weather,
storms.
It's going to be 90 degrees every day for the next 7 months.
Yeah.
That's the weather.
Yeah, it's like the new tides and weather for the next couple of months is just going to be tides, because it's almost pointless. You can almost guarantee the sun's going to rise, the sun's going to set, and it's probably going to rain.
Yeah,
that's weather.
That's all she wrote.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I think we're going to have a good week of fishing. This week got a little slow. We had some slow periods after mid-morning through mid-afternoon. That danger 4 hours did get a little slow for us, particularly inshore, and that caused us to kind of move out and do mackerel, sharks, and tarpon. So I'm kind of glad it does, and this is normally what happens. It ends up moving me out there to go look at some other stuff, and yeah. You find a golden jewel. So
we're going to jump to break number two, Travis. When we get back, we're going to jump right back into Fish Talk Radio. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Well, I'm going to miss her. I get home. Right now, I'm
And now it's time for the Come On, Man. Sponsored by Foy's Tire Service. If you need to get some new tires on your truck, car, or even your boat, just give Foy's Tire Service a call at 813-241-4017.
And we're back. Segment three of the show. Captain Travis is right here running the show. I'm just kind of hanging out.
Hey, man, we're here, brother. We're here. I got a lot of gas. I got to blow it out from last week, man. I didn't get in here to talk, man. Yeah. So. But anyway, no, it's been good, man. On the flip side, Neil, what you been doing and what you got coming up, man?
It's been, a little bit lighter schedule than I had a month ago, but I'm still out 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Which is nice because that means 3 days a week I'm sitting in the air conditioning.
I hear that.
And
man.
Now that there's all these pictures out there, I posted like 5 pictures of different people holding black drum. So my schedule just bumped back up again.
That's nice, man.
Now, if the Pompano move in too, I'll be out 7 days a week again. So, but no, it's good. I got that going. And I've still got my trips in the shallows. I've still got those a couple days a week. And I took 2 guys out fly fishing and they hammered them. And the people I'm taking out throwing lures, I'm taking them to the same location every time.
Right.
Where I was around Fort DeSoto, hit the wall. I was there for 6 straight weeks, and, man, we had some fantastic trout fishing up there. Red fishing, no good.
Yeah.
Red fishing is actually no good everywhere I go.
I've heard a lot of guys over on that side kind of throw their arms up as far as
no one knows where they are.
Yeah.
And now I haven't gone to look for them. So that's unusual for me. When this has happened before, I go looking around and I'll find them.
Right.
And then I'll take people to fish them. I've just kept taking people where this other fishing's great.
That's
and I just tell them, when you want to catch a redfish sometime, you can come here, but they're not here right now.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, they're on vacation. I noticed that the fish on the South Shore have been moving around a lot. Fish came in just after mid-spring, sat down in a couple areas, stayed there for about 3 weeks, and then they've actually moved back in. Actually, I write a monthly column in a newspaper, and I was telling people that
you got to start sending those to me, and yeah, I'll publish them on the website.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty good stuff, and it's really local to right where I'm fishing, right on the South Shore.
Yeah.
And I feel like I try to give some good advice. And one of the things I talked about, the red fishing at the time was really good. And I said, it's not going to last long. These fish are going to split up and they're going to move back into areas where you normally can't fish them. There's normally not enough water. We're starting to see tides over 2 foot.
Yeah.
We're starting to see, areas that are getting flooded in, starting to get fish moving back to where they normally can't get. And redfish are one of those fish that a lot of times when you're on them and you start getting some higher tides, they'll disappear on you like little phantoms. And a lot of times they just push up way back under some mangroves, get into areas that they normally can't. And then it's abundance of food. You've got an abundance of shrimp and crabs that they haven't picked through yet. And my opinion is they get back there and fatten up. The redfish that we have been catching have been very, very fat. I think they've been sitting in some of these areas for a long time now, 4 or 5 weeks. And a lot of the ones we are catching are pretty healthy fish. So.
A guy that I knew that shared my passion for redfish passed away this week. So we lost Terry Tomlin 7 days earlier.
Yep.
But Doug Hemmer died a few days ago.
I did read about that. And good Doug, guy, man. Really yeah, good Doug guy. I remember watching him for a long
Doug
time.
Doug was a guy I had a lot of fun with. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was about 15 years ago. I was still umpiring. And so we had probably like 15 people sitting there, and they were talking about fishing guides. And so I was sitting there, and Doug put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "This guy doesn't need a fishing guide. He needs a captain's license," which I was in shock that he said it. And I was like, I had some pride that he said it, because I was going out and I was catching fish on my own. This is 5 years before I started guiding.
Right.
And so Doug said, "This guy knows catch redfish on a lure better than I do." And so I said, "Well, I'm not so sure about that." And he goes, "I am. You're better at catching on lures than I am." And so anyway, I didn't run into Doug often, but every time I did, it was always fun.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I'm almost sure. I think the last time I saw him was at the Captain Mel Memorial Program, and he got on the stage right after me.
Gotcha.
And he got on there, and of course, me leading him in and introducing him, he started talking about me, and I was just honored, you know, to be close to Captain Mel, but to have Doug Hemmer sitting here saying, "Yeah, Mel really liked this guy, and
right.
I can see why. Neil is all about the fishing in this area. Neil is all about conservation." So,
oh, absolutely.
That might be the last time I saw Doug. So you're talking 6 years ago. I talked to him on the phone, but that might have been the last time I saw him.
Super cool guy, man. I can remember watching him,
riot.
Watching his reports on the news and reading his reports.
Channel 13.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Really, really cool guy. It always hits hard, especially in our community. You know, there's not a lot of the good old guys left. When I say old, I don't mean old. I just mean established, put it that way, you know.
Yeah, Doug ran his charter business a lot of years, and he worked at Ted Peters Smokehouse for 10 years. And he moved here when he was 1 year old, and I think he was 58. If I read right in the paper, he was 58 when he died this week. But
yeah, that's always
he pretty much a lifer around here.
Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. They're tough to come by. He's been in the business for a while, man. Really
Long
good guy.
Time.
Really good guy. Good fisherman. So it's always tough to lose him, man.
Oh, and funny, Terry Tomlin and I. We're sitting down one time, and Doug and I are trying to upset Terry. We did successfully. And then Terry and I were trying to upset Doug, and we got him aggravated. And they both tried upsetting me, and I just sat there drinking.
Weren't having it.
They were trying to upset the umpire, and I wasn't having anything of it. And these guys gave up, and they were like, "Neil is unflappable." But, man, we had fun that night, the three of us, and both of those guys are gone now. It's the ways of the world.
But we still have the Neil Taylor, guys. We still got him. So so get him while you got him. Absolutely.
I'll be around.
How can we book a charter with you, Neil? How do we get out there on a kayak, bud?
My business is Strike 3 Kayak Fishing, which you spell out T-H-R-E-E, and that's also my website. And my phone number is 727-692-6345. My email address, livelybates@AOL. And LivelyBates has been my handle on the internet forums for 15 years.
Awesome.
And,
awesome.
Yeah, that's how you get a hold of me, and you know, you can call to ask me about my trips. You can send me an email and say add me to your list. I send out at least two emails a week that are different fishing reports that I do.
Jeez, man, making me look bad. That's awesome.
I got into this form where I just automatically do it as I publish stuff. I get it ready to send out when I have enough stuff. I try not to hammer people with it.
Right.
There was a time where I sent out like three in 3 days, and I had all these people
saying, "Neil, you got three reports on one trip."
I had all these people saying, "Please drop me from your email," because it's just too much. So I try and keep it at once a week, but you know, when I'm publishing a lot of stuff, I don't want to send something out that has 10 different things on it. So I send them out. It's roughly every 5 or 6 days I'm emailing something out.
And that's good, man. That's it's good that you kind of put that feedback down. I do my best to get a, you know, I do a monthly report and I do some reports on the internet and on my website and stuff like that. But it definitely helps out. And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm one of the kind of guys where when I write something down, or if I talk about it, or if I you know, have a way of mentally burning it in, I remember it the next year and the next year and the next year. So
right.
Writing for me has been an outlet to kind of remember. And
well, that's what I do.
You know, if, I mean, it really does.
If not for these reports I write, I wouldn't remember what I was doing 6 years ago. And I'm reading about it, and then I'm like, maybe I should go back and try fishing there.
Exactly.
I know where I was talking about when I wrote that report.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
Yeah.
So good deal. Well, yeah, check that out, guys. If you guys want to get out kayak fishing with Neil, give him a call. Get on the list. Get some emails. Or check out CaptainMel.com. A lot of good stuff going on there. Tons of good stuff going on there. And check us out, follow us, and we'll be talking some fishing.
Yeah. And we will combine segment four of the Captain's Tip of the Week with the Come On Man, because
we just chewed right through it.
We kind of just skipped it, but there's always good stuff to throw into the Come On Man. But yeah, when we get back from our break, we will talk about that. Like to thank our sponsors. 12 Fathom Lures just does so much for me. All the other show sponsors we have, the Skyway Piers. If you don't have time to go fishing on a boat, yeah, just go down to the piers.
This time of year.
They're hammering fish out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a great sponsor of our show. So anyway, like I said, enjoy our sponsors as much as we do. When we get back in segment four, we're gonna see if Travis has a come on man. We're gonna do a captain's tip of the week, and we're just gonna keep talking fishing because
that's what we do.
I don't have anything else to talk about because this is all I've been doing.
That's it, man.
So think about that during the break. What are Travis and I going to talk about in segment four?
There is no telling.
Do you have a come on man?
I got one.
Okay.
I can muster
Travis
one up.
Will cover the come on man. I'll do it again next week. But we will, we'll be right back after these messages. And when we do, Captain Travis is going to have some good information for you. So after these messages, we'll be right back.
Fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show. All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to powerpole.com.
Segment four of the show.
The last one.
Yeah, here we go. The final 12 minutes of our Fish Talk Radio life. For the week.
Absolutely. You guys are listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We are here, Captain Travis Yackel in the studio. I got Neil Taylor here with me, and we're gonna do a come on man. Neil,
let's give it to me.
So we're out fishing the other day, doing some deep water fishing. Tide was getting slack, water's getting hot. We're out fishing. I was fishing an area where I'd seen some tarpon rolling. I'd seen some schools of thread fins out there. So we just said, yeah, let's go see what we can do. You know, burn a little time sitting out there. First bait out, a couple mackerel. Second bait, you know, we're catching mackerels. Start seeing tarpon roll. I said, oh, we're going to get a tarpon. Next thing you know, I got you know, we got mackerel rods out and I got two tarpon rods out.
Right.
And of course, the tarpon eats the little 1-inch piece of strip of thread fin instead of the nice juicy steaks that are laying down on the bottom.
Of course.
So it goes, you know, and the lady's going, "What do I do? What do I do?" It's like, you don't do anything. You just wait for a second. And it just continued to go and go and go and go and go. And finally, at about where my backing was on the reel, we saw the fish come up and jump. She goes, "Can we get it?" About the time she said that, it was a snap. You know, so come on, man. Like, really? I mean, we were set up for them. We're mackerel fishing, and here we go. We got tarpon. Not to say we ended up hooking a tarpon. Well, we didn't land one that day, but it's kind of like in the back of my mind the whole time we're sitting there going, "I bet this thing's going to eat this little tiny bait. I bet this thing's going to eat this little tiny bait." And sure enough, that's what he eats, you know? So it was a exciting yet frustrating moment as a guide. Clients thought it was great, thought it was cool. For me, it was just like, come on, man. Like, really? But tarpon fishing has been good, man. We're starting to get in. Like I said, we got new moons coming up. Tip of the week, I would probably put it on gags. We got the season open, guys. June 1st, which is today.
Yeah.
We record the show on Wednesday, so today is June 1st.
It opened.
Saw a lot of pictures this morning, guys, going out early, getting on gags and American Reds out there. So talk a little bit about gag grouper fishing. Do you do any grouper fishing, Neil, or are you pretty much
No, I don't do any of that anymore.
Gotcha.
We had a couple of the clients caught some pretty quality gags on the flats in the last month.
Grass groupers.
Yeah, they're 18, 19 inches is
that's a very nice gag.
That's a big, you know, gag as far grouper as inshore, for, you know, in there. Usually when we catch them, they're 9 to 11 inches.
I've got a spot inside.
We got a couple
inside of Joe's Island that I get little gag groupers like every time I'm there. It's kind of weird. But anyway, kind of talking about gag grouper. You're gonna find more people catching more fish inside the bay. You're going to see a lot of guys fishing, you know, some of the reefs, the local reefs, edge of the shipping channels. You're going to start seeing some guys trolling around some, you know, stretch 25, stretch 30s, on the edges of the channels. I'm kind of more of a bottom fisherman when it comes to grouper. I try to set up on the fish or stay on top of the fish. One of the really cool things that we've got into over the last couple of years is these GPS anchor trolling motors.
Yeah.
Rodan, which is one that me, Danny, and Jason all use. One of the best that I think in the industry as far as GPS technology. But it's been a fabulous tool. I don't know if there's a better word, but an awesome tool for sitting on top of rock piles, not having to anchor, not having to do your set and your drift, try to figure out where the back of the boat's going to be.
Do you ever have it with that where the current is too much where it won't work?
You do have times where you slip, you know.
Yeah,
where,
because I had the owner of 12 Fathom, Craig.
Uh-huh.
He got one of those trolling motors for his boat.
Uh-huh.
And we went to Ponce Inlet.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't work in the inlet.
I would imagine that
water's ripping there,
right.
And it simply did not work.
Right. I think
everywhere else that thing works awesome.
I think if you get into a place where the thrust of the trolling motor can't compete with the speed of the tide and knots,
okay,
that I don't think it's not the GPS. It's simply the fact that the trolling motor
too much speed
can't push through that current. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Inside the bay where we fish, generally, it does, you know, like I said, perfect. You can set yourself up. Now you're not fishing, you know, a spot the size of a coffee table either. You're fishing a little bit larger rock pile.
Right.
Some different edges and things like that. But what it allows you to do, is on some of these, like, let's just say Port Manatee Reef and Bahia Beach Reef, where you've got large areas, large distances around a main focal point of rocks and rock piles and edges and structure. What it gives you the ability to do when you have that trolling motor is you can move around real fast instead of pulling up anchor, moving over, setting up again. You can kind of use that trolling motor almost all day and move around and say, "Oh, we're marking bottom right here, hit it on anchor mode, drop down, see what it is, slide over to the next spot, so on and so forth.
Gotcha.
And so for us, between the snappers and inshore groupers, it's been a must, especially as a one-man show. You know, when you're out there with your buddies and you got one guy running the boat, one guy pulling the anchor, and you're doing all that, it's not as bad. But, you know, being a one-man show and being out there, the tools that we have greatly help us not only to fish but make our life a little
easier. My buddy Brian listens to the show every week. Mm-hmm. He listens to the podcast while he's at work.
Right.
What he called me Gilligan. So we'd always have other people out on the boat. But I was always the one doing the anchor, and I was always the one running around tying stuff when people got busted off.
Yeah.
And so we get done, he goes, "Hey, did you do any fish today?" I go, "No." He'd say, "Well, you did good, Gilligan."
Yeah, atta boy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you said.
I hate pulling up the anchor, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to be the anchor guy. I hated the anchor guy. Oh, man, it sucks.
I couldn't do it anymore.
It sucks.
I would have to have...
Even in like 30 feet, it sucks,
some other
man.
Younger guy around, you know? Doing it. I can't do
it
that anymore.
It just sucks.
My hands would hurt now. I wouldn't want to be the anchor guy anymore.
Yeah, no, the heck with the anchor guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the groupers. So kind of tip of the week, what I would suggest is if you've got some areas where you've caught grouper before, go there first. Don't go spend your time looking around. Go to the areas where you've caught grouper. They're generally a pretty predictable fish.
Yeah, you go
fish.
Looking for new spots after you've caught your grouper.
Go ahead and go back to some areas where you've found grouper before.
Yeah.
Look for rock piles. Look for the edges of channels. You can cut bait grouper or you can live bait grouper. I've had my most success, to be honest with you, on live bait. Live bait pinfish seems to be one of the best baits for a grouper that I can find. Now, do they always eat live bait? No. Can you get them on cut bait? Absolutely. But generally, I like a live pinfish. I try to fish on the edges of channels or on the outside of structure. I don't try to fish on top of your rock pile. Fish off to the edge. Get up current of it. Chum into it and fish into it. You're going to be more successful.
When I was 13 years old, my father used to take us fishing. We were in Panama City. That's where we would go in the summer times. I lived in Arizona. So my dad had chartered this captain, and we were only allowed to do what he said.
Sure.
And he wanted everyone fishing with cut bait. Now, here's this pen. He's got this pen in the back of his boat that's got all these pinfish there.
Right.
And we're not allowed to use those. He wants to chum them up. He wants that scent down there. He turned his head. And I freaking grabbed the dip net.
Fired one down.
So I caught the biggest fish of the day. And so, anyway, he said, I got this fish up, and it was a black grouper.
Oh, man. That's a
I mean, it was probably 25 to 30 pounds. It was
a real nice black
fish. So, and he goes, "See, the cut bait works." And my father turned to him, and he goes, "I'm paying for the trip. We're all putting live baits on because that's what he sent down."
Game over.
And the guy couldn't say a thing because I just sent that live bait down there and pulled up the biggest fish of the day.
Oh, yeah, man.
And we hammered him. As soon as everyone had pinfish going down there, everyone caught big fish.
There's something about it, particularly with grouper. I don't know what it is, but I think what it is, my opinion is maybe that the pinfish seem to want to get down to the bottom and get in the rocks. That's where they want to go. And guess where the grouper are? They're on the bottom in the rocks. So I think what it is you're putting a bait in their front door a lot of the times. That's my opinion. But anyway, get a chum slit going.
I have another theory. A, it's something they really want. They like
it. Yeah.
But B, we talked about grass grouper 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
These freaking grouper, they grew up eating tiny pinfish when they were little.
Yeah, that's not a bad.
And they see one when they're older, and they're like, "Ooh, I like
eating
that when I was little.
Those are good.
Those are good.
Rice Krispies."
And they eat it. So I've got that theory, too. They know a pinfish from their early years.
Yeah,
and
they've been raised on them, bottle-fed pinfish.
But I think a quality bait's a quality bait.
Absolutely.
And you send down something that's live and frisky, it beats out something that's dead and lifeless.
Yeah. Yep.
If you're after something really good.
Yep. Yep.
Snook included.
Yeah. Absolutely. And guys, be careful regulations. Don't get greedy with your groupers. You know, you can only keep 2 gag groupers. There's quite a few groupers around. You can keep a limit of two reds and two gags, but an aggregate of no more than four. So that can be mixed between scamps, gags, even blacks. But you know, make sure you don't keep any more than two gags per person, four grouper per person limit. So you can mix it with the reds and the gags, but don't get caught out there. Minimum size is 24 inches on the gags.
Right.
So make sure you measure your fish. They will be out looking around, guys. So don't get busted on that. But tip of the week is fire down a live pinfish on about a 4-0, 5-0 circle hook tied to anywhere from a 0.5 ounce to a 1.5 ounce egg sinker. Set it on the bottom on some good structure, and a grouper will show up.
Well, there you have it. And that will do it for this week. Thank you, Captain Travis. And we will be back next week. That is going to do it for our show. And we hope you all have a great week of fishing.
We'll see you guys soon.
Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody